So if you happen to be here and you happen to be breathing, that means too. Amen. Amen. We give God praise. We thank the voices of St. Timothy for lifting up a little praise there to the Lord. Amen. We are blessed for all that we have heard thus far.
Thank you, Lord.
And now we'd like to take it up just a little higher.
Come on.
I want to talk with you from the Word of God.
Yes.
I was delighted to hear from Sister and Bishop Irving. I'm kind of like the psalmist. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I was glad when they called and said that they would like us to celebrate with them 68 years of ministry. Amen. What a beautiful thing. Amen. In honor of that, they had chosen Psalm number 68. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Amen. We're just going to take just those few verses right there. Let them exceedingly rejoice. Amen. Let God arise. I love the way that sounds, because that lets us know that there is something for the church.
Yes, Lord.
Coming in the future. And it's not only for the church, but it's going to be for those who despise the name of God.
Yeah.
It's going to be a two-sided event when it happens.
Yeah.
The ones on the right side of God are going to exceedingly rejoice, but those who are his enemies are going to be scattered.
Yeah.
He said, also them that hate him, let them flee before him. As smoke is driven away. So it talks about two different sets of people. And we thank God that he has called us, those who are here, the ones who love his name, the ones who rejoice in the truth of the word, that he has called us here for such a time as this. Amen. And we live in a very difficult time in human history, not only in human history, but in the history of the church. Amen. So we just want to say that we want to make preparation to let God arise. Just those few words. That's pretty much of what this is all about. Let God arise. I was thinking about that, and just that little word, let, three letters. Let God arise. Hit me in a certain way. Paul says it in a number of places in the word. I'm just going to pick a few. We don't have time all night here. But he said, let God be true. Though every man a liar, in Romans 3 and 3. Let God be true. And every man a liar. He says, Jesus said this. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14 and 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You know, we have a tendency to let our hearts be troubled. We let anything get us down sometimes. Although we have no purpose nor reason, because if we just let God arise in our spirit, like he has already done, to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light, we would hold on and let not our heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says over in the word, I heard Bishop quote this morning, let the weak say I am strong, and let the poor say I am rich. Amen. That kind of flips it on its head a little bit there too, doesn't it? Let the weak say I am strong. If you are in the Lord, then God has strengthened you. You have been fortified with the blood of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is our motto. This is our mantra, if you will. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So so we hold on right there. That's our stronghold. That's why the weak, any of us, the weakest among us is able to say, I am strong. No matter what you have done. Why? Because you've been fortified with the blood of Jesus Christ. God has strengthened you and given you life, even though we did not deserve it. I was listening to Brother Roberts there talking about going in, finding those who are out of the way. And we talked about that a little bit this morning, talking about going in, helping other people to see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who are in prison. I heard my sister talking about feeling like a caged animal. There's folks in the world who have the illusion of freedom because they think they're free. And they say, well, if we get hooked up with that church, we're going to be in bondage. But the fact is, you're already in bondage. You need to come to the church so you can get free. You need to come into the church so God can release you into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And then you'll understand what true freedom is. And let the weak say, I am strong. Now he also said, let the poor say, I am rich. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. If you are in Christ, guess what? Everything is yours already. You may not have it in your account, but God has set it aside just for you. Amen. So therefore you are rich. Your father is rich with houses and land. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. So therefore the poor can say, I am strong. It says, let the poor say, I am strong. Amen. So we thank God for that little word, let. It's a powerful word. The writer to the Hebrews uses it. He says, let brotherly love continue. Amen. So we need to learn and continue to love one another. Jesus said the whole world will know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. So it's the way we love on each other that really preaches more than what we say out of our lips. It's how we treat one another, not only in the church, but out of the church. Amen. Love is the badge of honor that we wear. Because God so loved the world, as we said, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I like this one from Amos. He said, let judgment run down as water and righteousness as a mighty stream. Amen. See, Amos, he said that, Amos 5:24. Let judgment run down as water and righteousness as a mighty stream. A lot of things that go on in our life is a matter of what would you allow. The word let means allow. God wants to do something for us here. There's some things we need done. There's some things that we're fearful about in our own minds that are taking place in our own lives. And God cares about those things. And somehow the enemy has some of us thinking, God doesn't care about that. You know, but the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care up on him, for he cares for you. Amen. So he cares about every little detail. Some of us, this is the trick of the enemy, and I'm going to expose this to you tonight. He wants you to go around in fear. He wants you to be concerned about stuff that God already has it taken care of. God has fixed it up. But you keep on burying it within your head. Sometimes we don't show it on our face. But sometimes deep down inside, we have a fear about what these things may be. How these circumstances may turn out. How it may work against us. We're always carrying around a little doubt in the back of our mind. But the Bible says that we should trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now he knows about the trouble. This is the part I want to ask you about now. It says that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So don't let the enemy trick you into thinking there's something that you got going on in your life of which God has no control. You have not been given a spirit of fear. You don't need to be timid. And you don't need to be brash and overbearing, but you just need to have a trust, a confident trust that God can do exactly what he has promised. He has promised promise you that he said, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
You believe in God, believe also in me.
Yes.
Let's examine Jesus' account just briefly before we move along.
Yes.
Jesus came into the world. We say, we look at John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's talking about the eternal Jesus.
Yes.
And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
Yes.
And all things were made by him. And without him there was not made anything that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We look at the eternal Jesus. Then we come to John 1:14, where it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John says that. He says that we beheld the glory of the Word, who was the eternal Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us. So if we look at his account, and then we look at the fear factor that you and I have, realize this. Jesus came in and restricted himself to a human body for a space of time to fulfill the law and the prophets, because it had been spoken in the eternity that God's Son would manifest in the flesh when the fullness of time was come, according to Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born under the law, to deliver us from the curse of the law. Now see, the law to me and you would be a curse, because we can't keep it 100%. God requires absolute perfection. I like to tell people that you can be saved if you can keep the whole law from the womb to the tomb. If you can do that, God will save you. But if you're being truthful with yourself, you know, I have not kept the whole law from the womb to the tomb. Only one person ever did that in the history of time. His name is Jesus. He came, he was born in the flesh. He was born according to the law and the prophets. He lived a perfect, spotless, sinless life before God. And he was crucified on the Roman cross and buried in the grave for 3 days and nights according to the law and the prophets. He got up on the third day morning with all power given to me in heaven and earth. He is the only one that ever fulfilled entirely God's law from the womb to the tomb. He was in a borrowed womb and he was in a borrowed tomb on the other end. He borrowed a womb to come into the world to take on flesh from the virgin without the seed of a man. And then he was born holy and without spot or blemish, just because that's how God designed the woman. When he made Eve, he made her so she was capable to bear the Messiah, because it would be Adam's seed that would not be a part of his life. But he fixed up the woman so she could bear a son. And even right now today, every woman has the same equipment that he gave Eve, that she carries a child in her womb, but it's not, the seed does not come from her. It comes from the man. Her bloodstream does not share the blood with the child in the womb. And so when you want to talk about let God rise, God knows how to come up. He knows how to rise. He knows how to fix it up. He knew it already, even before there was any sin in the world. When he said the first time in the Word, it says it's not good that the man should be alone. That's before there was any sin. Did you know that? And it says it's not good. Boy, I tell you, that jumps right up out of the Bible to me. When I see that, there's no sin yet till chapter 3, but it says in chapter 2, it's not good that the man should be alone. And so God says, but I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. And he made a woman, you see. And so the woman was the vehicle through which God could take on flesh without taking on sin. He made it when he made the first woman. Every successive woman ever since has never shared the bloodstream with the child. That's why we know who the father is. DNA testing lets us know who the father is. You see, because the woman's bloodstream is isolated from the fetus in the womb. God designed that when he made Eve. So you and I need to understand this, that the gospel is valid. It fits into every scientific example that you can pull up. Scientists tremble when they hear what I just told you. They want to try to tell you there's some other kind of way things got here. A big bang. And I said, if you want to see a big bang, wait till we let God rise and his enemies scatter before him. And those that hate him flee before him. You want to talk about a big bang? You want to talk about some global warming? Wait till God starts to warm the globe. You see, you need to get right or get left, as we say. You know, because God is coming. He is on his way. And so this word let is just so beautiful. He says, let thy work appear unto thy servant. The psalmist says in Psalms 90, verse 16, and thy glory unto thy children. And he said here, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands established thou in Psalms 90 and 17. So God is working on the ones who trust him. The ones who believe him. He made a way through the woman that he could become flesh without becoming a sinner. You see? And therefore he was born of the virgin, as the scripture said, in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, without a spot or blemish. Came through from Mary. Talking about let God rise. And God set up the circumstances so that he could be born exactly in the place that Micah the prophet had said. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. He said that he would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, in the city of David. And so therefore Messiah was born right there. Came forth with no sin because he was born of the virgin. Now this is critical for me and you when the critics come around and tell us, they want to give us all kinds of reasons, like there's a thing going around now talking about the facts about Jesus. And then they want to talk about the facts and the fiction and the forgery and stuff. You say, want to cast doubt in your mind so you can doubt what God has so well proven. You know what I always like to ask them, and I'm going to just tell you this here. I'm going to insert this. I like to ask them, well, how did your calendar get to be the way it is? It's 2015 years since Jesus was born. Is that a myth? Can you erase that out of time? Your birth certificate is based on his birth certificate. Your tombstone is going to be based on his birth certificate. You see? And so you need to understand he is God. He is the only one that could arrange that. It's 2015 because Messiah was born 2015 years ago. Amen. And we count time. Will we all be doing that because of a myth? So you need to understand and think about who is Jesus. And when you think about that, what does he mean to you? What do you personally believe about the Messiah? The Bible says not enough to know about him. You know what everybody knows about him. You can't be on this world and not know about Jesus, and not unless you're somewhere way out in the sticks on a foreign island somewhere. People always tell me, well, will God send folks in the foreign island to hell? I say, yeah, he probably will. And if you are concerned, why don't you get over there and preach? You need to get over there and preach. Tell them the gospel. If God put that burning in your heart. But the fact is, no one is clean without accepting Jesus Christ personally as your personal Savior. Now, we do a lot of talk in the church about a lot of things, but we need to be serious about this, that you must understand who Christ is. You must trust and believe in him and believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says. And you shall be saved. That's the promise from God. And we talked about this morning, so I just want to add a little of this to this conversation this evening. We talked about the fact that death was swallowed up in victory. Because not only was Jesus born without sin, he lived without sin. He walked perfectly holy from the womb, as we said, to the cross. And even on the cross he was holy, because there he was bearing my sin. My sin was up on him. And I believe he was there from the 6th to the 9th hour dying for my sin. And if you believe that, then your sin can be cast upon Jesus Christ. He took it, and all that mankind, all the politicians, all the Romans, all the Gentiles, all the Jews, everybody that hated him, heaped insults and shame and disgrace upon him. You know, and he was there intentionally by his own free will. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, the Bible says, but the world knew him not. So he had anonymity as he hung there between heaven and earth on the cross, crucified for your sins and mine. And whoever, the Bible says, believes on him will not perish. But, you know, after they had done everything they could to extinguish the life of Jesus Christ, he was still alive. He did. They did enough to him to shut any of us down, it would just blow you away. If you bled as much as he did all night long, and the crown of thorns, you would bleed to death in about 5 or 10 minutes after the abuse that he received from the beatings, the floggings, and the thorny crown, and all those things that were struck against him. Just all the flogging that he received, 40 lashes, and all these things, that would be enough to kill you right there. If that didn't kill you, the infection from all the dirt and the germs germs and the bacteria that went into your body, that would kill you. You see, there was a lot of things that would have killed me or you. Why? Because we have sin in our account. But the sinless man Jesus took all that and he hung there on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed against their ignorance, the fact that they did not know that they had God's Son, the only spotless one that had ever been born, lifted up on the cross between heaven and earth. He was there dying for their sin, and yet he interceded on behalf of them and for the transgressors that hung on either side, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 53, that he was numbered with the transgressors and made intercession for them. Amen. He was interceding for you if you trust him. If you believe him, if you don't think it's just some mythological thing and you don't buy the hogwash of the critics. We have a lot of critics in our day that want to set the gospel aside. But you know what I believe? I believe Unity Chapel Church is like St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. There is a cell of believers here who trust God, who believe in his Son, who will praise him no matter what, who will lift him up no matter what, who are not ashamed to tell others about the gospel, the good news that God gave his Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For 68 years you have stood the test of putting forth the gospel, the good news. We want to make sure there's not a soul in here tonight who doesn't fully understand what Jesus did for you. You need to understand it and know it, because if you do, you might find a place to do a little happy dance yourself. If you really get a hold of what he did, if you let God arise in your heart and understand that he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Think about that term there in John 3:16. He gave his only begotten Son. It was a gift from God. Jesus is a gift from God for you and me. That whoever believes in him, he gave him for you and me. And the reason it's important that he gave him is that he had to give him away. That's why he forsook him on the cross. He said, okay, my son has given his life willfully. I give him away. I forsake him, turn away and walk away. You know what? You could have a gift, keep it in your pocket, and say, I'm going to give this to Bishop, but as long as it's in my pocket, it's not his, is it? I'm going to take it over there and give it to Bishop. Now it belongs to him. And then I walk away from it. I forsake the gift. Then it's his. I've given it to him. And we use that as an illustration that God gave his son for you. And he left him there so he could hang on his own. On his own merits, he hung there on the cross. And he bled and he died. Oh, he didn't die until he said, he was in control of it himself. He said, it is finished. Once it was finished and everybody had executed every possible thing they could against him, then he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. See, and that, so he dismissed his spirit and everybody had done everything they possibly could to put him to death. You see, and so that's the reason we know that when he died, he said before that, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. So he willfully gave his life for me and for you. And if you understand that, that's when Jesus gave up the ghost after he had committed his spirit into his Father's hands. And he did that to satisfy the Father. The Bible says that's the only time God the Father has been satisfied. Only one thing satisfied God, and that's the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. And so the grave therefore had no authority to hold Jesus. When they laid him in Joseph's borrowed tomb, 3 days later he was able to get up. Why? Because the grave had no authority over him. And you and I need to understand that. That's the really important thing. That's where the boldness in the gospel comes from. Because even if they put me to death, you can't take my life. It belongs to God. God the Son got up to prove that death has been swallowed up in victory, fulfilling the prophecy of Hosea. You see? And so you need to know that for certain. I believe most of you do. I really do. If there's anybody here who doesn't, I implore you tonight, let God arise. Let this spirit rise up in you. Take the truth to heart tonight. And get on the right team, because there's coming a day when the psalmist has predicted, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, you know how that is, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. On the other hand, this verse here is a blessing. If you trust God and you believe him, and you believe with all your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and the reason he did it was to show us all that there is a solution for that problem of death. Death is a very most ugly thing in life. Think it through. How many times has death broken your heart? We talked about it this morning. But the goodness of the gospel is that the relief from death has been supplied, and God has already showed the world. Because if they could have produced the corpse, they could have shut the church down. But there was no corpse to be produced. Why? Because Jesus is risen. We celebrate that this time of year. If they could have just rolled that sarcophagus right down the middle of Main Street in Jerusalem, there wouldn't be anything to preach about. But the fact is, death has been swallowed up in victory. He said, oh grave, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? See, and the victory is ours because of what Jesus has done for us. So we celebrate that this time of year. And I'm glad that Unity Chapel, for 68 years, has set forth the message of the gospel of Christ. And I pray that if you're here tonight and you never understood this, that you do now. That's the reason why I wanted to come. Notice this here as I make preparation to close. Colossians 3 and 15 says this: let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. That's the unity of the body. And be ye thankful. You see that? All we have to do is thank God, because God has done all the work. There's no work that we need to do. That's why he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If he could take care of death and the grave for you, don't you think he could handle a problem in your checkbook? If he could take care of death and the grave for you, don't you think he can handle a health issue you might be going through? If he can handle death and the grave, everything else pales by comparison, doesn't it? So we need to trust God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that God has raised him from the dead. If people are doubting the resurrection, then no wonder you don't have any power in your life. Because the resurrection is essential. And you cannot be saved if you don't understand that you don't have to worry about death. It takes away lots of fear out of your life. It makes you able to trust God in every word that he has said. It makes you able to be powerful in your presentation of the truth. And all it had to do to cancel it, like I said, was to produce the body. The body was not there. And they said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not there. He is risen. That's the good news from the angel. And of course, they even saw him. The apostles stood watching, gazing as he was lifted up into the heavens. And the angels appeared and said, why, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall return in like manner as you have seen him go. You see, so he's coming back. That's the next event on God's calendar. When he comes, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. He's coming back. It's the next event on his calendar. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Isn't it an honorable thing to just exceedingly rejoice about the goodness of God? Because you know he covered everything you need. If he can cover you for eternity, guess what? He can cover you for time. Anything you got going on now pales by comparison to your extended problems that you might have in eternity. But if you trust in the Lord, as we have said, with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. God takes joy in filling the saints with the Holy Spirit and guiding you through his word and helping you to understand the truth and helping you deal with all the issues in your life every day. That's why you need citadels like Unity Chapel, where you can have a place to come and just let loose in God. St. Timothy MB Church, where you can come and praise the Most High. Amen. Where you can let your hair down in Jesus. Amen. And so I just want to thank God for Bishop. The Lord instructed me to pray for Bishop and Sister Irving at this time. Amen. And we're going to do that. And I'm going to also ask God to bless Unity as they continue in their mission for the next 68 years if Jesus should not return. Amen. I'd like to ask the church to join me in prayer. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we just thank you, oh God, for this church, oh God, and the shepherd of this house, and his first lady. We ask you to bless them both, Lord. We thank you, God, for giving them these saints that you have allotted to their charge, that you have given them favor, oh God. And Father, we pray for more favor. We want to just see you pour out grace and mercy and favor upon Unity Chapel, God, like they have never seen in the past 68 years. A whole fresh wind of the Holy Ghost will blow right through these doors, oh God, bringing in saints that need to come to the altar. It's bringing in sinners that need to be saved. Bringing in the sick that need to be healed. Bringing in the broken that need to be fixed. Oh God, and we just thank you for what you're going to do right now. We thank you for what you already have done. We give you praise right now. We bless you right now, God. We pray for strength and health and healing over this house, God. Bless every member, God. Bless every person, oh God. Bless every home, every family, every child. Let there be multiple generations here. So when you arise, oh God, that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his way, oh God, and just bless in this house, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege. We thank you, God, for just all the things that you do here, God. We thank you for every person that has put their trust in Jesus Christ. Somebody tonight, God, may not even have understood exactly what you said in the gospel. And so we pray for them too right now, God, that their mind would be blessed with a full understanding of exactly what Jesus did, and that they might be saved from this point forward. We bless you and we thank you. We want to ask God a special hundredfold blessing for Bishop and Sister Irving, God. Hundredfold, oh God. We ask you for the best, God, that you might pour it out on them in this ministry. Oh God, we ask that it would just be a rushing mighty wind of your blessing, God. That the divided tongues of fire would rest upon them, oh God. And that they would be just anointed, God, and blessed in the coming days, Father. We look for the blessing. We await to hear as God arises in this place, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the ascension. Thank you for the promise of your return. You said, oh God, that we don't have to mourn, oh God, because as others that have no hope, because you have given us hope, oh God. And we thank you, God. We ask you to touch Minister Patey, oh God, and his family, his house. Oh, bless all the ministers here in this house, oh God. Special blessings for the musicians today. We thank you for their spirits today, God. We ask you to bless that a high praise will go up out of this place, God. We give you honor right now, Lord. We give you praise right now. And we thank you, Lord, for letting us be a part of this service. And Father, we're looking now to the future for those things that you're going to wrought right here in the Unity Chapel, Father. We thank you and we give you praise. And all the saints gave God a big hand clap. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.